We are entering the time of year when death prevails. The living leaves of the trees have gone red and yellow and orange and are falling to the ground where they die and decay. Those beautiful, bright green sprouts that came out of the ground in the spring have lived their whole lives, growing large, making fruit, and dying. Beginning now until spring, the animals in the wild will struggle to find food, and some will die. More people will die in the next months than died in the spring and summer, bodies worn by cold and dark, and viruses that multiply and spread. It is no wonder that this time of year, between the September fall equinox and the December winter solstice, that ancient peoples taught us that the veil between the living and the dead is very thin. People could speak to their dead. They remembered them in story and in song. Today we gather. As the days darken and get colder, we turn inward into ourselves, our homes, our families, and our communities. We tell stories. We remember what is most important to us. We enter the sanctuary of warm darkness that can hold us like a blanket. Death comes. It can be so sudden and so unexpected, as we are reminded again in the face of more deaths brought to us out of violence and hatred. And it feels so painful. Life is the most precious gift we are given. We did not earn our lives. They simply came to us. We just came into being. And the price that we have to pay for that is we die. It slips away from us, from our bodies, and from everything we've known. Maybe after years of a robust, truly fulfilling life, and sometimes not, we don't get to know when we will die. We don't know when death will come to us. But each of us must die. We will die. But to make our lives work, we build that piece of knowledge very lightly, nearly in denial. We make plans and organize our lives as if death was not so far away. But then it happens. Someone close to us dies. There's an unexpected death in our community. Violence takes lives. We receive a diagnosis, or someone close to us does. And it becomes so hard to deny death then. And so often it shifts us. We remember what is so important about being alive. We remember that each day is truly a precious gift that we were given through grace. And many times at those moments, we readjust our lives. We try to remember to be grateful, so grateful for all the precious things in our lives. But then, usually, because we're human, we just slip back, holding our deaths loosely, the whole concept of death. Most of us don't have the Tia Miseria's power to keep death in a pear tree. One of my sons, though, in high school, decided that that was going to be his calling. For a year or so, he decided that his life work would be to end death. He started taking advanced science classes and discovered the work of someone on the internet who was engaged in research to end a death. He read his book and actually corresponded with him a few times. So during my son's absolutely passionate quest to end death, we found ourselves at the hospital to visit my grandmother, who was in for one of her many, many visits in her late 80s and early 90s. I don't remember what this was. Did she have the flu? Was it one of those medication reactions? Fluid around her lungs that had to be drawn out regularly? A hip replacement? A wound that would not heal? I don't remember this particular case, why she was there. All those visits blur together. However, my whole extended family was there, and my son was thrilled to share with his biology professor grandfather all his knowledge about how death could be ended. My father, an ecologist by training, was not as enthusiastic as my son had hoped. Things have to die, he told them. There is only so much food on this planet. We wouldn't have enough resources for new babies and new animals. He explained how the death of one living creature frees up nutrients and elements and atoms for new living creatures. There could be no change without death, he explained. My son, 16, was completely undeterred. He argued, and my father counted. And during this heated exchange, my grandmother lay in bed, in tubes that linked her to monitors and bags of fluid, and she was very quiet. Her skin had that grayish, exhausted look of the ill. Her eyes were closed. We thought she was dozing. Then the argument paused, and the room went silent. And her voice came out loud and strong. Not dying sounds awful. After we all stopped laughing, all I could think of was, yes, we are meant to die. Our bodies are made to die. They are strong and resilient in so many ways, but in other ways we die so easily. Our bodies age in a way that if we live long enough or get sick enough, we don't feel quite as sad about dying, like Tia Miserea's old friend and my grandmother. So we will die, and so will all the people that we love. And my grandmother died not long after that conversation, and it hurt a lot. I loved her so much. She was one of the people in my life who always loved me unconditionally, with complete acceptance and warmth. I was so grateful to her, and I missed her, and I still miss her. I tried to bring her picture today, but I left it on my kitchen table. But I will put her name on the altar, because I miss her, and she's one of the ancestors I hold so closely to me. We are all people, and we are made to love. We are made to love. We make bonds, and when those bonds snap and someone is gone, it hurts, and it hurts a lot, and we grieve. We grieve. We are wounded truly, and it takes time to heal. Sometimes it takes a long, long time. Today we will place the names and pictures of our loved ones on the altar. We do this because we have connected deeply. And these people will always be with us. They become ancestors. They become ghosts and spirits and memories. And we remember that they are with us. And we also remember the way death makes the new possible. My daughter's middle name is my grandmother's name, Joyce. Life spins past grief and into new life. Life and death, pain and love and joy all twist together, making our lives truly what they are. And I would like to share a reading with you, and Brad and Rosie are going to help me. So if they would come forward. Without the death of stars, there would be no planets and no life.
Without the death of creatures, there would be no evolution.
Without the death of elders, there would be no room for children.
Without the death of fetal cells, we would all be spheres.
Without the death of neurons, wisdom and creativity would not blossom.
Without the death of cells and woody plants, there would be no trees.
Without the death of forests by ice age advance, there would be no northern lakes.
Without the death of mountains, there would be no sand or soil.
Without the death of plants and animals, there would be no food.
Without the death of old ways of thinking, there would be no room for the new.
Without death, there would be no ancestors. Without death, time would not be precious.
What then are the gifts of death? Oh. The gifts of death are Mars and Mercury, Saturn and Earth.
The gifts of death are the atoms of stardust within our bodies.
The gifts of death are the splendors of shape and form and color.
The gifts of death are diversity, the immense journey of life.
The gifts of death are woodlands and soils, ponds and lakes.
The gifts of death are food, the sustenance of life. The gifts of death are seeing, hearing, feeling, deeply feeling.
The gifts of death are wisdom, creativity, and the flow of cultural change.
The gifts of death are the urgency to act, the desire to fully be and become.
The gifts of death are joy and sorrow, laughter and tears.
The gifts of death are lives that are fully and exuberantly lived, then graciously and gratefully given up for now and forevermore. Amen. Each year at Samhain, we remember death, its pain, its graciousness, and its necessity. And we also remember our ancestors, those people who came before us and made our lives possible. We look at our fingers and see our grandfather. We hear our granddaughters laugh and hear our mother. Our ancestors bring us blessing of song and stories, ways of being in the world. They gift us old photographs, recipes, fights for labor and racial justice, and they bring us woof. Just as there can be no life without the first splitting of cells, there can be no human knowledge or institutions without our ancestors. Let us remember those who have died with this reading by the Reverend Mark Bellatini. Some of us remember with pleasure aunts, uncles, fathers, mothers, friends and lovers, cousins and neighbors, other times and other places, cities and farms, homesteads and rooms, yellow sunsets, chilly sunrise. Some of us find it hard to remember, for the memories that clamor inside us are jagged, like glass we ourselves did not break. Some of us remember people we have never met, but heard through history, recent events, books and poems and film and painting have met us and entered into the secret chambers of our heart. Some of us remember children, and we cannot be comforted. Some of us remember and are set free in our thanksgiving. Some of us remember and are tight with guilt and with shame. Some of us struggle daily to remember with greater clarity. Some of us weep easily and often. Others weep rarely, but grieve all the same. Some of us are stoic and say, these things happen. Some of us rail against the unfairness of it all and clench teeth and fists with discontent. Some of us bear the burden of those who took their own lives or who suffered greatly at the end. Others among us remember only vast meadows of love and charity, in which we played with joy. But all of us remember, whether we speak or silent, whether we deny or affirm, whether we love or find it hard to love. May the power of love embrace us all, as the curtains between then and now are drawn open for a moment, and the fullness of life impresses itself on us, each in our own way. Let's have some silence for remembering. Maybe you will take out the piece of paper that you were given coming in and write a name, or a memory. Maybe you will look at the photograph you brought, or maybe it will just be in your mind and in your heart, the memories. So Rosie is going to join me and we will do our Samhain ritual. Living creatures are animated by breath, by spirit, by something we cannot really ever understand. And then it is gone. It happens to every living thing. The breath no longer rises and falls in the chest. The face no longer smiles. The skin, once warm, is cold. Death has come. The body is there, but the spirit that made the person is gone.
Where do they go? When they die, the people we have loved? We know about the body, yes. The cells feed new life. But where is the smile, the laughter, the skill with the hand, the particular way of thinking and approaching life, the memories, the stories, the way the body reached out to touch and be touched? Where?
We do not know. People always have ideas about what happens. The dead join the spirits in nature, hanging around the living, close, touchable. The dead join the spirits in a vague, dull underworld. They go to heaven. They go to hell. They return to earth and live new life in a new body. Their energy dissipates and becomes new life and new matter. The energy joins the bright energy of the universe. But in the end, we do not know.
Some say that there are three deaths. One, when a person's breath stops. The second, when they are buried. And the third, when their name is spoken for the last time. All the world, for centuries, the living have held their beloved dead in the present, in their hearts and souls, keeping them from this last and final death.
So I invite you to come forward, as you will, and set a photo on the altar if you have one, or if you do not, to write their name and leave it. You may say their names aloud, if you wish to hear it in this room, you may have more than one person you wish to name, and that is fine. We are together going to hold the people into this room today. And I'm going to first start by putting some names that are dear to me and to all of us. People who died this year: Barbara Bush, Stephen Hawking, Aretha Franklin, John McCain, and my own beloved grandmother, Joyce Davis Gibson. We close with these words from Judith Anderson. Remember us, you who are living. Restore us, renew us, speak for our silence. Continue our work. Bless the breath of life. Sing of the hidden patterns. Weave the web of peace.